Acts 27, it's a simple message I'm going to call, I Believe God. I Believe God. In Acts 27, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God says this: "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Andromedium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already now past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice or Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and were so driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and it sounded 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they have cast four anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the rope from the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not any hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all, 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to be thrust into ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted the mainsail to the wind, and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained immovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence and the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get the land. And of the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just faithful testimony. I pray you speak something to our hearts to help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we be seated. I thank you for standing. You may have noticed in verse number 25 where the thought from the message came from. Paul's in a pretty difficult situation. And he stands in the midst of this difficult situation. He says, I believe God. Three thoughts today. The conditions of believing God. The confidence to believe God, and then the reality of believing God. Number one, the conditions of believing God. First of all, Paul believed God against his own perceptions. Paul believed God against his own perceptions. Because if you look back in verse number 10, when Paul initially warned them about going into the sea, he said, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt with much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. So Paul was in, he felt like if we go, we're not only going to lose our ship, we're going to lose our lives. But he heard from God, and now he believed God, even though he already had a perception of what he thought would happen, of how difficult, how dangerous that heading this course of direction would be. Because of hearing from God, he believed God, and he had to trust God against his own initial perceptions. You may walk through different situations in your life. Your initial thought is, man, I can't do this. Or I can't, this is hopeless. But if you get a word from the Lord, direction from God, then believe God, just like Paul did. Number two, Paul believed God when all earthly hope of being saved was taken away. Now, we see that in verse number 20 as a the storms called Euroclydon has gotten pretty severe and serious. And now in verse number 20, it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. Now, they're sailing total darkness. I don't know how, but it says many days, no sun nor stars. I mean, no light in the sky. This is how cloudy it was. No small tempest lay on us. So the storm is still rocking. There's still tempest. And it says, and here it is, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now, this is a pretty severe situation that where it's gotten, and we're talking about experienced sailors, we're talking about seamen, people that have been on the ship. In fact, if we read, they launched out into the sea because when Paul told them to stay, they thought that where they're at was not commodious to winter in. Basically means it didn't think they could take care of them. And so they thought, based on their experience, it was better to risk going into the sea than it was actually to stay where they're at. And now, out of all the experience, all their traveling, they said this is total, all hope that we should be saved were taken away. And we read it, but I want you to notice in verse number 37 that it says that there were 216 souls. So that's 276 people. So basically, except of one, there were 275 people that thought the situation was hopeless. Because Paul was the only one that said, I believe God. I mean, all hope is they should be saved was taken away. And even to a measure, at this point, maybe even Paul was included in this 276. Because it was after we read that, he said that long absence, he said, but no, so he did know because he heard it in the night. But so when you believe God, understand that it may many times be against your own perceptions. The way you initially see a situation, God will cause you to trust Him beyond the way you see that situation. And number two, don't be surprised if you are called to believe God in when all earthly hope and situation is lost. And you could even potentially be surrounded by people who are totally 100% hopeless. You know, next time you go to your work and you feel like, wow, nobody believes God here but me. Next time you go to a grocery store or you're anywhere and you just feel like, wow, I'm surrounded by people that have no hope whatsoever. Believe God. You know, there's all of us going to walk into a situation in our life where it seems like we're surrounded and nobody has any hope except what we do. That's part of believing God, and that's part of what actually worked in the end. So in these conditions, I like to think of believing God that there's ideal conditions surrounded. You know, but we said it all, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So true faith is just, okay, God said it, I'm resting in it, you know. And that leads us to number two, the confidence to believe God. Now, Paul makes a very simple statement in verse number 24, but this is his complete confidence. We'll read 23 and 24. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, notice what he says, that it shall be even as it was told me. That was his confidence. He said, I'm going to believe just like it was told me. At this point, to just reemphasize how we began talking about the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing that you heard it from the Lord, you know, because I've said it for years, you know, knowing that I said it is not going to be enough. You know, when you leave here, real life begins. Well, you know, Pastor said, but then when it gets darker and darker, and the sun's not shining, the stars are not, you can't even see the stars, and it looks more and more and more hopeless, and you're surrounded by people that think the situation is hopeless, you're going to have to claim that I believe it shall be even as it was told me. Not as it was told my pastor, not as it was told my husband, not as it was told my wife, not as it was told my children, not as it was told my favorite preacher that I listen to, but I believe even as it was told me. You know, that's the situation where you truly be able to believe God. And if you look in the Bible, that's where you see it. You see it all the time, you know. Elisha. You know, after Elijah was taken up, you know, he had to call it to God for himself. When he lifted that mantle and he struck the waters, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know, and God found out personally, and Elisha found out personally where he was, you know, and it was what a fantastic day that was, you know. And you and I, as we read the Bible and we allow the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts, that's the only place we really have the confidence to believe God. And see, what I'm talking about is a faith beyond religious experience, because many people are discouraged with God based on religious experience. But what I'm talking about, when you know you've heard it from God, I can honestly say I can't think of any time that God has failed me in any way whatsoever. Now I've had some expectations that I put on Him that I assumed to be a certain way when I thought I understand Him a certain way, but there's not anything that I've ever heard that I knew was directly from God that He's failed on, because it's impossible. He doesn't fail, you know. And so, like we were sharing last week, you know, if we believe not, He abideth faithful. You know, thank God for that. But that's the confidence to believe God. You know, and you can think about different situations in your life to where, you know, I need to believe God, even as told me. And last of all, number three, the reality of believing God. Now, we read the whole story, but we'll just go down through a few verses here. Number one, we must surrender to God's power in the circumstances. Because here in verse number 30, they're in a situation and they're starting to fear, and they're wondering what in the world they're going to do. We see they began to release some tackling, and they're wanting to escape. And verse 29, it says, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen on the rocks, they cast out four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they let down the boat into the sea, under the colors which they thought would have cast the anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved.'" Now in this storm, basically what they were going to have to do is they were going to have to let go. They were going to have to trust God and let the storm take them wherever the storm took them. And they were just going to have to believe God let's just say Paul, because he was the one that heard it from God. So Paul was going to have to believe God that, just like it was told him, that all the storm's not looking any better, though things aren't really changing, that even though this we're being tossed about by the tempest, that I'm just going to have to let God take this wherever He wants to take it, and I'm going to trust God to keep His word in my life. And that's if you think about that, that's why the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." Because when we're faithful, that is that surrender to let God do what He wants to do with our faithfulness. The times that I have been faithful, I wish I could have seen more of what God did with it. But you know, the reality is, we never know what God does with our faithfulness. Like I shared often about giving that witnessing to Robert Walker and giving the gospel tract in the Bible. There was 7 years before I realized that. And those people that whatever that church in North Carolina that came by and put that flyer on our door, they have no idea that they had any impact on my life whatsoever. Probably some kid going out with the parents, just passing out flyers just because they were told to, and didn't know that God used that to draw somebody to Jesus Christ. And they had no idea. If I went back to North Carolina and into Lumberton where we were at and looked around, in fact, I drove through Lumberton. Was that 2 years ago? Or I can't remember when I went to see Brother Smith, but it don't matter really. But it was a couple years ago, three, and I drove through Lumberton and I tried to Google some church names, trying to see if I could figure out which church it was. And I even went to the church, but I had no idea where it was. And I thought, I just wish I could tell somebody, that their faithfulness affected my life. And that person will never know, and they may just think, they probably passed those out, and probably as they were walking home saw some more laying on the ground and thought it didn't make any difference whatsoever. But because they believed God and were faithful and trusted God, power in the circumstances, that faithfulness made a difference in my life that I would be saved. And God used that to draw me to Himself. Number two, the reality of next thing under reality of believing God, we must not flee for our lives. Verse 30, it says, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color, as though they would have cast the anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved.'" Now this is rather amazing statement here, we're ready to think about it, because he didn't speak to those trying to get out of the ship. Because Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, he said, "Now, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." So if they flee for their own life, he said, ye can't be saved. Everything about the Bible, again, the reason God, the early church was so powerful, they were in one accord, and they worked in unity together, in harmony together, and God wants us all to be in one accord, walking in the Holy Spirit, and following the Word of God, and just in love with Jesus, amen. and that's attainable, but by the way, I'm not trying to, I've heard this preached, so if you leave this church, everybody's going to suffer for it. No, that's not what I'm saying. But there's something here to where they had a choice to flee for their own lives. And they got, and Paul told them, in this circumstance, if you flee for your own life, you cannot be saved. I've said it for years, that if all of us are right with God, it's impossible for all of us to stay. Because God's going to lead us somewhere else, so, you know, and God's going to use us to do this or do that, you know, or some of us are going to die by persecution, you know. You never know what's going to happen, you know. No church should continue to grow and everybody just stay there. Some people should be sent out and go other places, you know. Just like our children, we wish we could stay at home all of their lives, but we expect them at some point to grow and to be fruitful somewhere else, amen. And so that's a natural expectation. But the reality of believing God is that in these storms where it seems like this is an impossible situation to believe God, we must not flee for our own life. And, you know, we must esteem other better than ourselves. We must make decisions that will honor Christ and honor His namesake and to love other people more than we do ourselves. Next thing under the reality of believing God, we must cut off our opportunities for self-deliverance. We must cut off our opportunities for self-deliverance. Now, verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. They cut, okay, well, the instruction was given. Okay, if we don't abide in the ship, we cannot be saved. So I believe God, so we better get rid of this boat. Because if we're not careful, as long as this boat lingers around, that temptation there will be for us to flee for our life. And so we're going to cut off that which could hinder us or could lead us into fleeing for our own life. So we're going to get rid of that. You know, that's why the Bible talks about in, you know, putting off things in Colossians. You know, putting off things that are away from us, that in our mind. Turn to Colossians 3 just for a moment. Since I can't recall it, bring it to memory. Colossians chapter number 3. In Colossians chapter 3, but it says in verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. So we're risen with Christ. We have direction from Christ. We want to seek His will. But notice what it said in verse number 8. But now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So there's some things that must be put off if we want to walk in belief and faith of God. You know, because as long as that escape hatch is there, man, the flesh will probably take it. You know, that's why so many people, when they get out of debt, the first thing they do is cut up all their credit cards, because they know the temptation is to just charge them things back up. You know, and they know they can be a great blessing. You know, then they live in, if you need to rent a car or something, you can't hardly do one without have a credit card. But for some, that threat is so large to them, they know it's better for them just to totally put that off and cut it off so they can continue to walk free in the way that God wants them to be free. Next of all, and this is one that I think will help us the most. Looking at verse 30, back in Acts 27, look in verse 33. It is not your religious performance that makes God's word true or brings God's deliverance. It is not your religious performance that makes God's word true or brings God's deliverance. Because in verse 33 through 36, notice it says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting. They're fasting, they're hopeless, they want some answers, they're trying to get some help from God. And Paul said, no, just take something to eat, you know. Because this is, we've been fasting, trying to get God to help, trying to get God to move. And wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when they had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now, basically Paul talked him out to stop fasting. Fasting is a good religious exercise, a good way to let God have all your attention. But he said, you know what, in this situation, God's not looking for you to do something for him to grant you deliverance. And I wrote it down like this, that God decided that he would deliver whoever stayed in the ship. It did not matter how spiritual they were. So think about it. You know, God said, if you just stay in the ship, the only people going to die is if you don't stay in the ship. Except you abide in the ship, these cannot be saved. He didn't. You know, it's funny. If you notice in here, there's no call for repentance. There are prisoners on the ship. They're derelicts. All the time, the people on the ship. But the only thing that Paul, the only command was just stay. I'll deliver you. You know, and so much of our faithfulness to God, you know, again, because we've deified people and servants, you know, we look for some measure of faith to like someone else has. Instead of just, no, just believe in God. You know, God said it. You know, I just trust what God says. It's that simple. You know, I love it when new people get saved. And I've seen new people, they believe a verse that seems to be out of context. And God answers a prayer. Because, you know, so it wasn't like this binding thing, you know, but God answered the prayer. And because God saw one of his children that had a need, and God did it. You know, and you know what I did? I never told them any different. I just let them, you know, because they can figure that out later. You know, I was like, well, I don't know what happened, but God helped them. You know, God's getting all the glory. I mean, his word is getting all the glory. And they're praising God and thanking God. So why in the world would I want to step into that, you know? and so much of our life, you know, is God is looking for a childlike belief that just trusts him for everything. You know, it's not this perfect theological understanding all the time that God is looking for. And there again, we study to show ourselves approved unto God. We certainly search the scriptures, and God wants us to understand what he's saying and how he's saying it. I'm not minimizing that at all, but at the end of the day, he said, except you become like little children. You know, and that childlike faith just says, you know what, God, I just trust you. You know, whether I don't, you know, Lord, when I was listening to that book about absolute surrender, it was talking about people struggling and besetting sins, you know, and how that, you know, that you just must come to God in absolute surrender over that besetting sin, and you must forget about your history. And you must take God at his word that through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, he'll cleanse you from that sin, and that he's given you the victory over that. Because Satan, you think about it, Satan so wants us to look at our experience and use that as a baseline for our faith and trust in God. But he said the Spirit of God is that which can free you from that, because as you trust in God, you're not trusting what you've done or what you have not done. You're simply trusting in God, and the Spirit leads you to that confirmation, and you understand that, and you just believe God. But so often, you know, I've heard people say, oh, I can never change. You know, that's just where I'm always going to be, you know. You know, and that's why people want to quit. There's times I want to quit. You know, I thought, man, I'm just not going to be able to do that. I just need to quit. I'm just going to give up. Satan and myself plague me just like everybody else gets plagued sometimes. But God says, you know what? That's not what I said. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He also said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. All those feelings of hopelessness that we have when we're in a situation, that's the thief, the way he operates. God said he didn't come for that. But see, I've come that you might have life. See, every situation that we may think to be hopeless, there's and for the child of God, there is a purpose in that situation. There is a life in that situation, but we never find that unless we believe God. But in that belief, we have to surrender to God's power in those circumstances. You know, say, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't know why it's going this way, why this had to happen now, why this, why one. But Lord, you said, I'm just required to be faithful. So I trust you. And here I am, Lord, I'm trying to believe you. And it seemed like, man, I'm surrounded by, and it's everybody I'm surrounded by does not believe you. That's in that way when you walk out to the store, you go someplace, like you get to work or anything, and God says, just believe me. I've got a purpose for you in this storm. Because you think Paul's purpose was, it wasn't so much that he was not supposed to drown in the storm. It was so much more that he had a purpose down the road for him. So the storm, but the issue is that now you're going to go talk to Caesar. You know, you're going to stand before Caesar. So, I mean, and so you're not, and by the way, I've given you all the men that are staying with you. You know, nobody's going to lose their life over it, you know. So his purpose was, that situation he was in, that was really irrelevant to what plan it was, to the plan that God had for him. It was necessary for hope to be in a hopeless situation for God to be able to do with him what he had planned to do with him. You know, and so if you're in a situation right now to where you feel like it's hopeless, I would encourage you to ask God to give you a word of direction from him. And then you'll realize, you'll find in that situation, yes, it may be hopeless. You may lose the ship. You may lose some possessions. You may lose traveling in the way that you would like to travel. But there's something that God has wants you to do, and he'll deliver you for that purpose. You know, and so, and it's, again, based upon his desire. And guess what? You may be just one of those today riding with Paul. And you say, well, okay, I don't know what's next for me, but I just better not get out of the ship. I better stay close to God. I don't really know what my direction is, but I just want to stay in prayer. I'm going to stay in the Word. And, you know, I'm going to read the Word, but I don't feel like it. I'm going to pray when I don't feel like it. You know, because there again, God decided he would deliver those who just stayed in the ship. Didn't matter how spiritual they were. God bless his faithfulness. Amen. And so, you ever go to work when you didn't feel like it? You ever go to work, you have a sorry attitude, and guess what? You still got paid. God is so much better than anybody we've ever worked for. That's what the Bible says in Colossians 3:23. What should we do? Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So Paul, he stood in the midst of this life and death situation, and he reminded them, you know, they should have followed my instructions earlier, but, you know, however, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There is going to be consequence. You've got to lose the ship, but it's better to have your life than the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. Paul said, I belong to God. it was not just the angel of any God. It was the angel of the God that I belong to. And thank God, if you're born again today, you belong to Jesus. Amen. You belong to God, the Father, all in one. And he said, that's the one I serve. And he said something to me. He said, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So if you're in a storm today, in an impossible situation, God may have already given you a word for the situation. You may go back here, and you may need to go back and think, yeah, God, you already covered that with me. I'm sorry for being afraid. I believe you. Or maybe you're in a situation, and maybe tonight's your night that you need to meet with the Lord, and God will stand by you and give you direction from him to show you what to do in the storm, to show you your purpose beyond the storm. Because remember, that was how Paul, he said, you must be brought before Caesar. This is my purpose for you. You must be in this location. You must go here. And that's why you're not going to die in the storm. And just for grace's sake, all those people sailing with you, they're not going to die either. You know, some people that are around us that we just don't want to see die. You know, who knows what God may do with just a little bit of abiding, trusting the Word, believing as told how he might have some mercy on the people that are around us. You know, and I think those people are glad that Paul was on that boat. Could be anybody else, you know, but it was somebody that God needed to take to a specific purpose, you know. So maybe you're in a situation, maybe like I mentioned the thing about Andrew Murray, maybe you've been struggling with a besetting sin. And you just don't know how you're ever going to get victory over it. Well, just believe God. Just make a fresh surrender to God and look at his word and say, I believe God, even as it shall told, even as it was told to me. You know, The Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. But Pastor, you understand, you know, I've not been living free. Yeah, but it says you are. Remember what I read, John Bunyan's testimony? He said, I went to them as in chains to those who are in chains. You know, I think of the times that I've preached in bondage to those who are in bondage. And, you know, I've said it several, I don't know how many, some time ago, that part of the struggles I had in different stages of leading here, I try to lead the church this direction, but I'm waiting for somebody to go so I can go with them. Instead of really just saying, you know, Lord, I just believe you. I trust you. I'm going to do whatever you say, you know. And, you know, my heart's desire is to, whatever this feeling of the Holy Spirit means, to have it for His name's sake and for His glory. And just to be a good son. That's all I want to be. I just want to be a good son, you know, to my Father. And I know God will take care of the rest. I know if you and I endeavor to do that, yeah, that means we escape the storms. But we find a purpose beyond the storm. And we will have to stand in the midst. And there'll be somebody looking and say, I believe God. I belong to Him. You know, and it's going to be just like He told me it would be. You know, and as the wars and rumors of wars come, I believe God that it's going to be just like He told me. Amen. So I'm not shaken about those things. If people talk about cashless society and all these things and the mark of the beast, I believe God. This will be even as it told me. So I'm okay with all that stuff, you know. And so, but as we prepare for whatever God wants us to do today, I'd encourage you just seek the Lord. Say, God, you might just say, you do whatever you want to do, but you might just ask the Lord this. Lord, what's your word for me in the storm? What word do you have for me in the storm? And that'll be the invitation, and I encourage you to pray. If you're not in the storm, praise Him you're not in the storm, and say, would the Lord, would you speak to my brothers and sisters in the storm and give them a word? Would you give my brothers and sisters a word for the storm they're in? Like we began praying about the people in persecution. There's some wife just lost her husband, and she's in the storm, and all her husband did was love God and follow God. And she's wondering what's next. She needs a word in the storm. There's some husband just lost his wife. And maybe even his own children because of his stand for Jesus Christ. And he's needing a word in his storm. There's someone that they've tithed, they've been faithful, they've given the mission, they've done everything, they lost their job, they're in the storm. Said, Lord, what should I do? I'm in the storm. There's some pastor somewhere that's just been trying to serve God, been faithful, and he's struggling just to hold on. And he needs a word in the storm, you know. So if you're not in that storm, pray for those people. You know, there's children that just lost their father. There's widows and there's fatherless children that are in storms, you know. And they need is that word from God that they belong to. And so let's pray that God would give them that word. And if you're in a storm yourself, I pray that God would give you that word. Because He's a faithful God, and I believe He'll give it to you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Yourself today. I thank You for the privilege to represent You today, and Lord, Lord, You're such a gracious and loving God. Lord, for those who are in storms around me, Lord, I just pray You have mercy upon them. And Lord, I feel like my life is in a storm just because of this battle to completely surrender everything to You. And Lord, I want that. Help me with that, Lord. I want that because I know this isn't about me. This is bigger than me. And so help me to get beyond myself and to lay myself down at Your feet for Your glory and for Your name's sake. And for others that may be struggling with things today, and would You please, Father, would You give them a word in the storm? And would You give them such a clear and concise word from You that they'll be able to rise from the night and still be in the storm, but know they've got the answer and they've got the victory, and to know that they will actually have life in the storm, that abundant life that You talked about in life itself. And Lord, for our brothers and sisters and persecution, have mercy upon them, Lord. Give them faith. I pray You bless my own pastor. Thank You for his faithfulness to all the struggles and trials. And have mercy upon him. Give him a new, fresh word in the storms that he walks through. Bless dear sister Norwood. Help her as well. Encourage her heart. And bless her.
and so many years of faithfulness and just trying to do right and the roar of the storms, and think of other preachers and pastors and just and other lay people that just live their Christian life trying to do their best, and right now they're in a storm that they just feel like they can't get out of. Would you just have mercy on one of them, Father, and give them a fresh word from you to where they can rise with courage and confidence and to say to all that surround them, be of good cheer, I believe God. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Take a moment and pray and meet with the Lord, and do whatever He told you to do.